Hello, friends, and welcome to a new episode of All New Snap Judgments. As always, I'm Roy Rogers, and I'm joined by my friend and yours, Glazer. Aaron, my friend, how are you doing on this sweaty, sweaty U.S. East Coast summer?
I'm great. Loving summer. No work is the best.
Yeah, I also love summer and not having to go into the school building, but these 90 degree days in humidity town is kind of killing me. So, that's just not the funnest thing in the world. But what is the funnest thing in the world is our extra special guest that we have this week. We are incredibly excited to have them. Aaron, who is going to be joining us to discuss this awesome patch that came out a couple of days ago?
We are due for the super tech god, the super variant god, the Marvel Snapcaster himself. How you doing, Ken?
Good, how are you?
Great. Want to tell us about yourself and where our viewers can find you? / listeners. Yeah,
definitely. Like Paul said, I am the super tech god. I am variant collection 100%. You can catch me over at twitch.tv/supertechgod. Or on YouTube at stg/MarvelSnap.
And we have another special guest. It is a woman who needs no introduction. Probably, if not the most famous Marvel snapper, right up there. We've got, she's shaking her head. No, she's such a liar. All right. We've got Nina is Noob. Hi, Nina. How are you?
Hi, Glazer. I'm happy to be here.
How do our viewers/listeners find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Twitter. Everywhere, really, is Nina is Noob. It's pretty easy.
I like that we pretend they're not following her.
Awesome. If you are just refreshing to double check to make sure that you're subscribed to Nina or following Tech Job, God, and making sure you click the notifications button on YouTube. All right, make sure so you're getting the notifications. You can also find us on a variety of social media. Second most importantly is our Twitter, which is at SnapJudgeCast, where Glazer is out there being every Marvel Snap creator's favorite reply guy. We are on the Marvel Snapdome Discord because we are incredibly happy to be the official podcasting partner of Marvel Snap Zone, and we are active on their Discord. You can go and talk in the sort of specific channels that we have set up for our show, or more importantly, join the most awesome large Discord community in Marvel Snap. You can also email us at snapjudgmentspodcast@gmail.com. We will try to respond to you quickly through all the kick spam that Glazer has given us. We are also on Mastodon at snapjudgments with an E at Tabletop VIP. So if you're joining the extinct animals over there, you can find us. And most importantly, we are on YouTube at Snap Judgments Pod, where daily, every weekday and some weekends, you can find Glazer producing a video every one of those days. Aaron, if our loyal listeners were to become our loyal viewers and go over to the YouTube, what would they find right now?
I think the single best thing they can find right now is I did a video that basically explains exactly how to optimize the new system so that you can, if not maintain, at some point, have every single card in the game as long as you're willing to buy the season pass. So make sure you check that out.
Awesome. So we're going to jump right into it and talk about the best new card. Every X-Men fan's favorite redhead and most controversial redhead, Jean Grey, is now in the game. And has the ability of ongoing, players must play their first card here if possible. All right, Nina, what do you think of Jean?
I think she is probably not very healthy for the game when she's going to work properly, I mean. At the moment, she is completely broken, but her ability seems a bit too restrictive and kind of reminds me of Galactus. You know, if you have a counter to her, or you have a way of dealing with her, then that's fine. But if not, then your deck is just completely useless.
Ken?
I agree. Jean Grey is definitely a card that did not expect to be so good and so restrictive. I mean, I get it. When we read it, we saw it. We said, okay, it's a reverse of Morad. But at the end of the day, I think there are some types of counters. I mean, the main counter doesn't work at the moment, which is Enchantress. But that's being worked on, but definitely have a blast playing with her and running Galactus, because that's exactly what I think she's perfect at right now.
You're mean.
Is this the return of Blazer? Galactus meta?
100% it is. 100%.
Oh, people are not going to be happy about that.
I woke up this morning and on my subscribers list, Nina's video came up and I said, yep, 100% return of Galactus.
You know what? I actually had Galactus in the thumbnail, but then I realized I didn't actually show a Galactus deck in the video.
No, you did not. I skimmed through all of it to see if it was the same one I was playing last night. I was like, I don't see any Galactus. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to call you out on it because maybe you saw that.
I changed it afterwards for the podcast, to Vision.
She's like one of the best cards in the game immediately, right? Like, it takes no time for her to just be completely nuts.
Well, definitely at the moment, since there's no counter and she works
right,
even when she is face down or when she's been turned into a symbiote on Clintar, or even if she's been turned into a Hulk, she still somehow works.
I mean, so this
very
is the
thematic.
Most...
So.
Yeah, it's true. It's very lore accurate.
So this is the most bugged card since Kitty. Are they pulling her and giving us free Jean?
Oh, that would be very nice.
I don't think that'd be nice at all. They better not do that.
Why not?
You don't want everybody to be playing her?
Exactly. I don't want playing her. No. You better go get her. Earn her.
Crap. Her. Okay. I'm going to have to buy Galactus.
You don't have
Galactus? Well, you might get her.
I refuse to buy
him
Galactus. I don't have three cards.
Blazer's just a hater. It's fine. So any other sort of general Jean Grey thoughts before we move forward? How about this real quick? Once the card is functioning properly, including Enchantress working, her, you know, being off when she's face down, her power going away when she's destroyed, all these kind of things. Like, do we think once she's functioning properly, she will be too powerful and something is going to need to be changed? Or do we think that she will be fine once the card is kind of we can properly work with her?
I'll let Anna go first.
Oh, I'm going first. I thought you'd go first.
Yeah.
Let me. I think it also depends on the meta because, you know, with bounce being so prevalent at the moment, maybe she is not that good. But if we had a Shuri meta, then I think she'll be pretty good at countering those. So it's all meta-dependent.
I mean, Shuri, like the Nimrod Destroy, the Invisible Woman tricks, like she breaks. She makes the meta smaller, not bigger. So I think that's probably like strong, even if it's not overpowered in every deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's going to be good once they fix her in, like, you know, maybe more so surfer decks at that point. I think, yes, if bounce stays the way it is, it's definitely a good counter to her because you have some mono cards you can play and fill up that lane real quickly. But yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, I think she's a great addition, or will be a great addition to the control decks out there. So yeah, once she gets six and the meta is still good in the place it is now, I think she'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, just what everyone wants, more control decks.
Of course. You know what else is, though, what's weird about it? Looking at her in our collection, why is she not next to Cyclops?
How are the cards sorted in the collection? If you sort energy,
energy, power, alphabet, right?
Yes, and she is now, by energy. I did it by energy. And she is a 3-3. Cyclops is there as a 3-4. I would assume she'd have been right there, right before him. But nope, she's not.
Well, Killmonger should be between them.
And maybe Wolverine's the one who decided on the sorting system.
I think so, too.
Well, they're cool with each other in the Hickman era. So, you know, anyway, as much as this has devolved into a lore discussion. So let's... let's move on to the big buffs and nerfs that came out with the new patch. We've got some interesting ones here. So they took a bit of the nerf hammer. How strong of a nerf hammer they took? Well, I'm happy to hear what folks have to say. We have High Evolutionary Hulk, only gets the benefit of that sort of his additional power when he's in the hand or on the board, not in the deck, which is a huge, huge, huge change. And then High Evolutionary is now, or Wasp is now only hitting one target. So you only get sort of free hit for just one target. So Nina went first last time. So Ken, why don't you tell us about this first set of buffs and nerfs? What are your take on how High Evolutionary was hit?
I think they needed it. This is something that we were discussing for a while now. I think Wasp being a 0/3 was a big problem. So now this little change kind of helps make it better, I think. Making her a 0/2 now versus a 0/3, I think that's pretty much fair for Wasp. So I'm happy about that change. As far as Hulk goes, I think it's right up the alley with every other card that's ongoing, like Morbius and Null. So it has to be on the field or in your hand. A lot of Lockjaw deck players will be upset about this, of course, being able to pull Lockjaw on the last turn. I mean, Hulk on the last turn and making him a 20 power. So I think these changes are pretty good, and I think it's fair. So I'm totally on board for it.
Yeah, I think people have been calling for High Evolutionary nerfs for a while now. I know I have, and I feel like it felt like it's been years. It took them so long to address the two biggest culprits, Wasp and Hulk. And Wasp into Lockjaw just felt super unfair. I don't know how good for the game these zero-cost cards are. It just sometimes doesn't feel like... It's very hard to balance, you know, their strength. And then with Hulk, I know people were calling for, you know, for him to only gain +1 energy. But I kind of understand why they don't want to nerf High Evolutionary too much, you know, because so many people saved up their tokens for him. And I think it was the most popular card since the release of the token shop. So, you know, more people than ever spend their tokens on him. So obviously they don't want people to feel bad and completely nerf him into oblivion, like give him the arrow or leader treatment kind of thing. So it is understandable why they're being a little bit cautious with the nerfs.
I don't think it's enough. I think that Hulk is going to be super high variance, right? Sometimes there's going to be no difference. He's going to be in the opening hand, and you're just going to be dealing with a 20 power Hulk, and nothing's going to be different. And sometimes he's going to be 12, and it's going to be miserable. But, like, I don't think the lockdown deck is really affected by that very much. I think the lockdown deck is probably still fine. And since they're, we'll talk about it later, but since like bounce is just fine, right? Like, I think the lockdown sort of becomes the preferred version because it's the one that has the good matchup against bounce. And then we sort of see where we are from there. But I don't think evolutionary is like it's worse. It's obviously worse. The cards are worse, right? But like, I don't think it's enough worse. So like, it's like those Shuri nerfs they kept doing, where they kept nerfing Red Skull just a little bit, and it didn't really change anything. I think this is basically that.
I can definitely see where you're coming from. But how would you nerf lockdown decks? I feel like lockdown decks just exist, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it. If there is Spider-Man, Storm, Professor X, you know, it's going to be very hard to nerf High Evolutionary to make the lockdown decks worse.
So Cyclops has to hit one target. I think the big thing they changed, and it's coming up later, but I think Cyclops has to hit one target. I think that it hits two targets every time means that he's very often a 3/8 that's basically like in a lockdown lane. Yeah. Like in a non-lockdown lane, it doesn't matter, especially, right? You just play more cards. But when you're like just trying to scramble to get two cards there, and like those two cards are losing, you're basically getting +2 there every turn. And if you have Nebula, +4 there every turn, right? While they can't really do anything except like drop a Jeff or a Doom, right? Like I think those are the only two real things you can do. Vision. Like there's a few weird things. Just add Luke Cage, yeah. But like, do you want every deck to have Luke Cage?
Well, you kind of have to at the moment.
At this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, fair point.
Luke Cage and Wave. Those are two cards that need to be in every deck at this moment.
Invisible Woman and Killmonger. Like, it's just a lot to meta against. It's generally easier at that point. Like Lambie loves saying this, right? To just play the stupid thing instead of trying to counter the stupid thing.
Oh, just make a deck full of counters. Way. 10 counter cards and two cards that you actually want to play.
There you go.
That paper thing.
The ghost Dr. Octopus one.
Yeah, that thing.
Oh, that one is, yeah. That deck is so good.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
It's dangerous. But I think for Hulk, I don't think it's fair. I'm a big Infinite fan, and for Hulk to be able to be played on turn 6 and be a 20 power is not right. So I think if they're going to keep it this late, they need to buff Infinite to like the 25 power.
I don't hate that.
Oh, I just nerfed Hulk.
You just nerfed Hulk reasonably.
But I'm saying, if they don't want to nerf him, the fact that we could play something on turn 5 and then play a 620 Hulk on turn 6, and we can't do that with Infinite, and Infinite will be the biggest card, I think Infinite needs a power ball.
The line is not Infinite is strongest one there is.
I mean, we've descended into a lore discussion again. So that means that we should definitely move on to the next set of buffs and nerfs, which is, the one I hate the most, which is the Gambit change. Gambit goes to a 3/3 and must discard a card from your hand in order to do murder somebody play. Mystique now copies on reveal if there's an ongoing. So it works with Soulstone and Electro. And Nakia, right? That's how you say her name, is now a 3/3 and gives +1 to your whole hand.
Yeah.
So Nakia, that's right. Excuse me, I apologize. I'm just gonna say before everybody gets in the air, I hate that they got rid of like combo Gambit. Combo Gambit was cool. It was a lot of work, and like when it worked, it was awesome. But it was so inconsistent. Like, come on. Like just let people do over the top, fun, ridiculous things that they put the work in. Every time I lost to somebody doing the Gambit thing, I was like, okay, cool. Like that's a cool thing. Like there's so many dumb ways and like. To lose, and the fact that your opponent had to play like 7 cards to make this go off was just a fun thing you could do. Like, I really do not like this change. Maybe it's future proofing that they're gonna have something that like would have broken it, which is fair, but with the evidence that we have right now, I'm really annoyed at this. But I'll throw it to you now, Nina, now that I said my piece about Gambit. Go ahead.
I definitely see where you're coming from with the Gambit change. But I can see him a bit more popular now in standard discard decks, you know, with he might work with Apocalypse and it will work with Swarm as well. You can still do some crazy stuff, but it might actually take even more cards to set him up properly. So I don't know if it will make him more popular, probably the other way around, because the 2 power doesn't really compensate for, you know, the lost in ability. With Mystique, it's quite a rare instance where you want to copy an ongoing cards with on-reveal abilities. As far as I'm aware, there's only 2 ongoing cards that have on-reveal abilities. So like you said, Soulstone and Electro. I don't know why anyone would want to copy Electro's ongoing ability with Mystique. But with Soulstone, I can see that happening, yeah. And I guess it's just to keep her a little bit more consistent with the way Absorbing Man works. And Nakia, I think it's a reasonable buff. You know, I can see her played a bit more often, maybe in like Silver Surfer decks. But a lot of the time with Silver Surfer decks, you want to kind of play Storm on turn 3. So maybe she can be like a backup if you don't draw Storm. So what do you think, Ken?
Yeah, I agree. Gambit, being a 1/3 with Mr. Negative was super fun. So Besides they took away those meme-y things from Gambit, I definitely understand. But you know what? I think I'm happy with the change because now it definitely pushes you to play differently with Gambit. And like you said, Apoc and Swarm would be perfect to be able to still discard cards out of your hand as much as possible with Gambit. So now it's even better with the additional 3 power. But yes, I do miss the 1/3 negative Gambit. Mystique, yeah, this all makes sense. Yes, definitely get her, you know, proper with those ongoing on reveal cards. But yeah, nobody wants to copy Electro at all. So Soulstone. That's totally understandable, but that Electro is not cool. Unless you want to send that over, right? You copy Electro and hit it with a Viper or something, maybe, but that's that. As far as Nakia goes, yes, I'm happy about this. Back in the beta days when she gave, +2, I guess, to your entire hand, playing a Swarm deck was like one of the best things ever. Swarm, Hellcow, so this kind of gives me that feel again of playing this card with Nakia. But yeah, definitely in a Surfer deck, probably Nakia and Okoye getting all your cards nice and buff, so that last Surfer turn is going to be back to old school surfer plus three to most of all your cards. So I'm happy with the change.
And you keep Nova and Killmonger? I'm excited. I'm excited. I think Nakia is the only real change that like is meant for play right now. I think the other two are future proofing. So my guess is somebody in playtesting figured out Gambit and Daken as some kind of combo, likely with Wong and Absorbing Man and nonsense, and it became like an actual thing where like Daken was getting up to like 16, 17 power, and like at the same time Gambit was killing half the opponent's board, which was very likely unfun, which is what I would guess the reasoning for this is.
Shall we remind the audience what Daken's power is? Just for the audience, not because
please?
I don't know.
Oh, he is a... What the hell is he? What's his base power? I'm going on Marvel Snap Zone. No, it's cool. I thought I had it memorized, but I don't remember his base power. Boop. Come on. There we go. He's a 3/4, and he summons a Muramasa shard to your hand, which is, I think, a 1/0 shard. Nope, 1/1 shard. And when that is either discarded or destroyed, it doubles his power.
Oh.
So if you double it twice, he's a 16.
A 1/16.
He's a 3/16. He doubles his power.
Oh, okay.
So, but you never play it with, if you're playing with Gambit, right? You play him on Wong, so you get two shards in hand. And then you play, this won't change that at all, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it will still work.
It's still going to work. Well, enjoy the thing I just came up with right now. but you kill two opponent's cards if you play it on Wong, and then you have a 3/16 as well. That seems like it's probably worth the last turn of the game, right?
Yeah, that sounds juicy.
Mystique, there has to be a card coming out that this matters for. I don't know what that card is, but like, I bet you it exists somewhere in there playing and practicing with things. And they're just like, this is a light update. Let's add something. And Nikki is just going to be great. I think she's going to go in more decks than we think. I think this is just like a generally very good card.
I agree.
100%. All right. I guess then it is worth moving on to the cards that didn't change, despite what people expected. Glazer already mentioned this, but Cyclops did not change, despite some serious speculation that this would be the card that would be hit. It is one of the most powerful cards in the lockdown deck for High Evolutionary. And then probably, I think, the most controversial lack of changes is that nothing in Bounce was hit. And Bounce is, I think, pretty much the consensus best deck, or tied for consensus best deck with High Evolutionary, if you watch a lot of the YouTube and other content creators. So what do we think? Ken, what do you think about the fact that these one archetype and one card weren't changed? Were there other some sort of cards that you expected to get buffed or nerfed that didn't get changes here that you want to sort of shout out?
I think nothing happening in Cyclops is what they plan to do, right? I think they're going to wait. They're going to see the Wasp Hulk thing kind of make people happy and then say, okay, we're good. Or if it doesn't help the problem, they're going to be like, all right, now we got to touch Cyclops. I think that's why. And again, back to High Evil being that top-selling Series 5 card. They're like, yeah, we just want to take away all the cards' powers, but let's start with these two. If it's an issue still, then we go to Cyclops. So I didn't expect Cyclops to get touched at all. I really did expect plus one for Hulk, but, you know, it is what it is on that level. As far as Bounce not being touched, I'm sure at this moment, I think everybody was more concerned about High Evil, and that's where their focus was. But I'm sure down the line, they're going to start looking into Bounce and see how they can limit that or start tweaking those things. But right now their biggest concern was High Evil, because I think that's what most people were definitely discussing. Cards that didn't get touched, I think with things like with Jean Grey coming out, I think Shuri should have been redone in the sense of when the next card that is played here should get the buff, not the exact next card. I think they need to change that for Shuri, because especially with Jean Grey taking it away from you, if you play Shuri and Jean Grey's on the other lane now, you know, you have to play something there in Jean Grey first. You can never play in the Shuri lane unless it's Jeff. So I think that's something they need to do.
Nina?
Ken?
Yeah. Well, I agree with Ken, about Cyclops, them not wanting to do too many nerfs, you know, just to see what happens, do little tweaks and see if they work. And with Bounce, I feel like Bounce is only really good at the moment because it's the only deck that can consistently match the power of High Evolutionary. Because Bounce was never really a problem before High Evolutionary came out, you know? And it's not like a new card came out and made it amazing. Oh, I guess Kitty Pride. Yeah, Kitty Pride. I forgot about Kitty. But I think maybe with High Evolutionary being nerfed, maybe Bounce won't be so prevalent anymore. Plus, I feel like there's a lot more ways to deal with Bounce. You know, you have your Killmongers, you have your Invisible Woman, you have your... There's Shang-Chi, and of course there's Shadow King, one of my favorite new tech cards that I've been using in a lot of decks. So I just feel like maybe we'll just wait a little bit and see what happens. And maybe they... Because I think the devs decide on the nerfs quite a while in advance. So at that point, they weren't thinking about nerfing Bounce yet, like Ken said. They were thinking about High Evolutionary and how to make him a little bit more reasonable. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bounce got maybe touched a little bit in the next few OTA patches. We'll have to wait and see. And for things that I expected to change, maybe I was hoping for, you know, Crystal to be buffed or changed a little bit because she's still not really played in a lot of the decks. And also, I kind of want Rescue to be changed, you know? I feel like Rescue is so choreographed. You kind of know straight away whether your opponent is going to play in that lane or not. And also, you know the exact power of that card. So even if you play Rescue and you don't have initiative, as soon as you play a card there, the Rescue goes up to 9 and she can become Shang-Chiable straight away. So I think maybe making her a 4-8 would make her a little bit strong, a lot more consistent, you know, so she can't be Shang-Chi'd. Isn't it funny how sometimes cards are better when they're a little bit less power?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I agree with you.
I still think the nerf that Black Bolt should have gotten was to make him a 5-9. I think it would have solved the problem with that deck better than making him a 5-7.
That's interesting. So he can be Shang-Chi'd.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just nothing to Shang in that deck.
Yeah. I was actually talking to Educated Collins about this, and he said that Shang-Chi is the most important card in Marvel Snap. He said every single... All the cards, all the deck archetypes depend on Shang-Chi existing. If Shang-Chi did not exist, it would be complete pandemonium.
Chaos. Yeah.
I think we talked about that on Snapcast, right? Like, we had that exact conversation. Like, the game is balanced around Shang. Otherwise, it becomes just, like, it's already point slammy. And, like, without Shang, it's just how tall can I go? And nothing else really matters. I think not changing Cyclops is fine because they didn't change Bounce. But I think that this is very similar to when they nerfed the crap out of Thanos and then didn't bother to actually like finish nerfing Shuri. Where like there just is one best deck. And that one best deck is counterable. But I think we're going to quickly find ourselves at a point where you're either playing the counters or losing. I think Destroy was a reasonable like third pillar. But I'm not sure Destroy survives the release of Jean. Because, like, lanes really matter for Destroy.
I was also hoping for the Lockjaw nerf in, you know, quotation marks to be reversed. It wasn't really a nerf. I feel like it was a buff to him, you know, only his ability only activating once per turn. Because, especially on turn 6, the players who play Lockjaw can just guarantee having, you know, they put their small card, Mjolnir or whatever, and guarantee their big card staying at the end in that lane. So I was hoping maybe for him to get changed back to the way he was before.
He might just need a redesign. I resisted it forever, but like the card gets broken like every 2 months. Like that's probably a problem with design. Anything they're doing along these lines, like it's too much power cheat.
Yeah, it feels too unfair. It's too cheating.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And especially with Wasp and High Evolutionary cards, you know, the Wasp going in like constantly and affecting your opponent's cards every single turn while when you play Wasp, that just doesn't feel fair at all.
Yep, it's got back in your hand all the time.
Yep.
Right, feels like it. Or back in there, and then of course you have Lady Thor to make sure she goes back in your hand on the next turn. So you could play her again and then play your big card again in that lane. you're right. They should put back Lockjaw how he was for sure.
That's another card that would benefit from a buff nerf to 9 power.
What, 3-9?
No.
Let's not do that.
Jean.
Oh,
if Jean was 9. No, Jane Foster.
Yeah. Oh, Jane Grey. Jane Foster.
If she was 5-9, then you play her in the Thor lane knowing Mjolnir's coming and you can Shang that lane safely and you win. Now you Shang that lane and there's still 8 power there and you just played a 3 and you're like, well, crap.
Maybe we need a tech card that can deal with cards that are 8 power or less.
Mm-hmm.
And mini Shang-Chi.
Oh. Yeah.
What if they just made Lockjaw only work once per game?
Oh. That would be unplayable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's playing Lockjaw at that point. You just leadered him. The first leader nerfed him.
Okay. I mean,
do we bring back Arrow? We should bring back Arrow.
I think
now.
We should bring back Arrow. I miss Arrow.
Me too.
She should come back now. With all the madness now, I think it's fair that she can move all the cards.
They nerfed her, and then immediately Galactus was the best card in the game. Like, immediately. It was like, gee, what did we think was going to happen? Like,
yep.
Whatever. All right, let's move on. Anything else?
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about spotlight caches. All right. So just to remind our loyal listeners and loyal viewers, the way it works is every 10 caches become a spotlight cache. Spotlight caches have a new card, have the newest card for that week, plus 2 set cards that Second Dinner will announce each time they update the caches. Plus 1 sort of wild card that changes. All are going to be series 4 or 5 cards. And what happens, there's no duplicate protection here. If you have a card that exists in the cache, it becomes a timed top tier exclusive variant. And the cost for this sort of big change and possible improvement to card acquisition is that regular caches lose a ton of gold. And especially gold and the tokens. Overall, the spotlight caches lead to sort of a de-emphasis of the token shop as the primary way in which people will get the newest cards. The goal here is to significantly improve card acquisition. Nita, do you think this system on its base is going to improve in the long-term card acquisition, or do you think this is sort of another swing and a miss for Second Dinner in their sort of quest to improve how we eat their new cards?
I think the system is designed so that players will get more Series 4 and 5 cards and new cards as they're released, which is a good thing. The only thing they're taking away is like the agency, players' ability to choose what cards they get. It's more random. But overall, I think we're going to get more cards for free, which is a great thing, you know? So I really like the system. I actually didn't know about the third point there, that wildcard is twice as likely to be series 4 as 5. I don't remember seeing that anywhere. So that's new information for me.
Tech.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely great for all comers, new and current comers that are looking to get new cards. I think this is the way to get people to stay in the game, or if they have to take a break and come back, this is the easy way for them to get back in and get those cards they want. The lack of getting tokens and gold is, I think, is a fair trade-off, right? Because now you don't need to use those tokens to get those cards. You can definitely purchase other things with that. As far as the time exclusive top variants, it kind of now makes you want to continue and play and, you know, card and get those catches as much as possible. And I think for those people who already have full collection, I think it's not really going to benefit them as much, only for them to get the time exclusive variants. But other than that, I think for everyone else, this is a great change. And I think Second Dinner really listened to everyone to get this up and running. And I think, yeah, I think everybody should be happy.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if someone really wants a card, they can guarantee to get it that week. If they only just say 4 spotlight caches, and then they're 100% going to get the card that they really want.
100%, not a guess.
Yeah, 100%. If you say 4 spotlight caches, you're 100% going to get the card that you want that week.
Correct.
And it's apparently 2.25 caches on average. I thought it was 2.5. My math was wrong, unsurprisingly. It is 2.25 caches per week on average to get the card you want. So sometimes you'll open all four. Sometimes you'll get it on the first. But it ends up being on average 2.25. Please go ahead.
Oh, I guess you can be a little bit strategic about it as well. Say you save four caches hoping to open Jean Grey, and then you open her straight away, you know, with the first cache. And then you can just save the rest of them until next week to see if you can get the new card again. You don't have to open them all at once.
Correct. But yeah, that number 3 point, yeah, I've never seen it either. The wild card is 2 times.
I got it from somewhere on Marvel Snap Zone. Lord knows I don't remember where. I pulled this info from Marvel Snap Zone, and then I ran it through like a few of their people. And I think it was Lauren and Carolus, but if it was someone else, I am so sorry. I'm not trying to get them yelled at. But they've been, Lauren in particular, has been emailing back and forth with Glenn getting information. So it might have come from there. It also might have come from somewhere else. So if I'm wrong, this is only for that wild card spot, right? Like that fourth spot. That fourth spot is more likely to be a 4 than a 5. That's the math they released to us at some point. So someone at Marvel Snap Zone, I don't remember who and when anymore. I've had this exact slide on the last 3 weeks episodes because I think it's like this is just the most important thing to talk about every week, right? Like until we like actually get a feel for it, actually see how this works long term. Spoiler, there's going to be a variation probably because now it's out, but there's going to be a variation on this in next week's discussion too, because like monitoring this and figuring out how it works and how players feel about it is like the future health of the game in one slide, right? I think it's great. I think that this is like good for free-to-play players, but for free-to-play players who expect to get things, this is saying, hey, suck it up and buy the season pass. I really wish, and I've gotten a lot of messages to this effect, that they figured some kind of pricing out for different parts of the world where $10 is a lot more than it is here. I don't know what that solution is. I am not honestly smart enough to come up with it, but I really wish they could come up with something so that people for whom $10 is like a week of work, don't hyperbole maybe, but like in that general vicinity, are not forced to like just sit this out. So that is my one big, I don't want to say critique because I don't think they even necessarily thought of it. I wouldn't have thought of it, but this update says, hey, if you can afford it, you should be buying season passes. If you're not buying season passes, you're shooting yourself in the foot. I went through all the math in the video from the other day where, like, if you buy season passes and open strategically and, like, you're just using your gold and you're still getting around the same amount of gold because of the weekend missions. If you buy the season pass and use your gold strategically, like even just on Token Tuesdays, you should be getting like 48 out of 52 new cards in the year. Like even if not just as they release. And like that's
amazing.
Yeah. If you open strategically, like the Cosmic Wildfire bundle, if you buy that, if you save up your gold for that kind of thing, you should be able to get 52 of 52. Like you're only using tokens for direct to series 4 cards. Right, because that doubles your token value, and then like you're just being extremely careful in other places with the way the current, and you're doing all of your conquest shop stuff and everything else, then you should be able to get every card for free, even if not as they're brand new. You should be able to, like, when you have two the first time they come around, when you have two, open them, and like that's a great deal for just the season pass.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like season pass is the most reasonably priced thing in the game, and it's something that I never feel bad about purchasing. If you're going to spend the money on the game, buy the season pass. It is by far the best value. And also, who here actually bought Jean Grey from the token shop? It's because you won the variant.
Yes, and that's the next thing I wanted to mention. I hope they have enough variants for me, because I mean, that's my only concern right now. These time exclusive top variants might be some that I already have, you know what I mean? So I'm really intrigued to see how they handle these variants, because I know they held back a couple of the alternate variants that were supposed to come out, like Electro and stuff. Are they going to now add those to these time exclusives?
Do you know what you're going to get if you have the variant that they give you?
probably, I hope it's not 200 gold.
Oh man, that'd be the end of the world. So are you still going to get every variant? I wanted to ask.
Yes.
100%. So you're going to live on my couch now, right?
That is my goal. Hey, I got many tools I got to do. That's how I look at it. I got
to
make that happen.
To be fair, I made a video about, you know, not wanting to whale in game anymore and try to be as free to play as possible. I still buy the season pass and small, reasonably priced bundles. But, you know, when I looked at the variants for this week's spotlight caches, I was very, very tempted to take out my credit card. I'm not going to lie. Especially for Jean Grey. And I got this information from Marvel Snap Zone, by the way. So
Yay. If
it's wrong, I'm going to blame you. I'm going to blame Marvel Snap Zone.
That's fair. We're just throwing them under the bus all episode. It's fine. This is only going up on their YouTube. No big deal.
Oh, boy.
So we should all be waiting until we have, as best we can, assuming we want to guarantee the card, until we have 40 caches or 4 spotlight caches saved up, which is whatever it is, 480 CL, right? Before you open, if you want to guarantee. Pre-patch, did you hoard?
I had 103.
Oh, Jesus.
And Monday night, I opened up 53 of them. So going into this change, I have 50 caches. Oh, I have 50 caches waiting. So I figured, I don't need to hoard all 100 and change. I want to get enough tokens and gold as possible, which I end up doing. I end up getting about 8,000 tokens in those 54 caches. And about 800 gold and a ton of credits. So that was my plan, to at least open half of that. So we'll keep the other half just in case.
So hang on.
Do you have a full collection of cards?
Yeah, full.
So you're only
full
really
collection.
Hoping to open 100%. Variants from the spotlight caches?
Yeah.
So 100%. Hang on. Notably, I think that's important, right? Because if you're opening 50 caches, that's like 10 more than you would need to guarantee a card. You're getting a series 6 card, a series 5
series
card, excuse me. Series 6 card, let's not give them ideas. A series 5 card anyway.
Yeah,
you're getting the tokens
card.
For a series 5 card. So in that way, this
correct.
Isn't a huge change unless you need more than one card.
That is correct. So I mean, I would assume that that last 10 should be held for next week for Echo.
I did not hoard. Because I stopped spending money on the game, it's getting a lot harder to hoard because I'm not getting, you know, as many credits, so I'm not opening as many collector's reserves. I do have about 7,000 to 8,000 credits saved, and I'm hoping to, you know, spend them when spotlight caches are live and see how many I can get. I think I'll probably get about, I don't know, my 20 reserves in total, so maybe 2 caches. But if it's true and the cards this week are Jean Grey, Living Tribunal, and Null, I have Null. I don't have Jean Grey or Living Tribunal. So, you know, maybe I can just open them for free without spending my tokens. So I'll be pretty happy about that. But I am tempted to just buy Jean Grey from the token shop and try to open her variant.
So, do we have any overall... Do we have any overall thoughts on the new system? How did it feel? How did you like it?
When I first heard about it, I thought it was amazing. I thought it was great, you know. More cards for more players, especially free-to-play players. And if you're free-to-play, I think you're guaranteed... Not guaranteed, but you're 25%... Like, it's a 25% chance every week to open the new card, which is a lot higher than it used to be, right?
Yeah.
With collector's reserves, it was 0.25% for Series 5 cards, and what was it for the, is it 2.5% or something for Series 4 cards?
Yeah,
so this change is huge.
Right?
I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think it was 2.5.
2.5 for Series 4. And you can only open one in every set of 40 reserves. It's not like you can open more than one if you're lucky. You can open one only. So No, you go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I did that. Like, I tested that out too, and I was doing full collection. I opened up 150 caches and could not get high Evo.
Yeah.
So that to me shows,
wow,
after opening 150 caches and not getting high Evo, when I was full collection the night high Evo came out, that shows that this is way better than the current way it is. Because for someone to not have full collection and try to open as much cash, 150 caches or more, and cannot get that new Series 5 card, in this scenario now, all you have to do is open 40 and you're guaranteed to have it. Yeah, my overall thought was, this is fantastic. No one should, everybody should be happy about this. That's the way.
But also, a lot of people don't know this, but collector's reserves at the moment are split into four types, and only one in four are card reserves. So only every fourth reserve you open,
Yes.
It's obviously the order is random, but there are batches of four, and only one in four can contain a card. So by opening 100 reserves, it's only really 25 that could have contained.
20, yeah.
Could have contained High Evolutionary. And it actually have you guys ever opened a Series 5 card?
Twice.
Valkyrie.
Yeah, I've opened Galactus and Null.
I got Sauron and Tribunal. Lucky me.
Oh. Wait, how many did you get, Ken? Just Valkyrie. That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to brag, but I opened Snowguard at 8,000 collection level.
Oh.
Yeah, don't be too jealous.
Hey, there you go. Snowbird is a great card. So exciting. Exciting times for everyone. So let's jump into thinking about the patch in general. So how do you think, looking at everything, including caches, including the buffs, nerfs, how do you think they did overall?
I think they did great. I don't know if they've done enough for High Evolutionary, but I am hopeful because, you know, the second dinner team seem really open to player feedback. And whenever players are unhappy or something, they always listen to us and they try to adjust. They never just like completely ignore us or anything. So if the nerfs weren't enough, I think that they're going to do something about it. They're just being being cautious about it. They don't want to do too much at once and make the same mistake they did with Leader. What do you think, Ken?
Ken?
Yeah, I totally agree. Sagittarius is definitely listening to everyone. I am happy with the changes they made and the small tweaks they did to Haibo. We definitely don't want another Leader nerf to any card. So for them to do it the way they did, it's phenomenal. So I'm on board. I think they did a great job with the changes so far. Yes, I'm still a bit salty about Hulk getting the +2, but making it now only getting that buff while it's in your hand or on the field is pretty fair. Wasp, yep. I'm okay with that. So, yeah, did a great job.
Blazer?
I'm sad they didn't hit bounce. So, I think people, and like, this is not about second dinner or about the power of the deck, really. I think it's about the way people work. High Evo is nerfed, so people will play less of him. Even if he's not significantly worse, for a little while, people will play less. And a lot of the community just plays what they've heard is the best, and what they've heard is the best is bounce. So get ready for bounce to be absolutely everywhere. The play rate is already high, and it's going to skyrocket. And I wish they nerfed them both at once, because like that discovery period right after both of the whole top of the meta gets nerfed is really, really fun. And I'm a little sad we're going to have to wait what seems like another month for that to happen.
For me, everything but the Gambit change was a good change for me. How about, all right, the most controversial thing about this patch is the delay. Ken, what are your thoughts on the delay of this patch?
I think the delay needs to happen to make sure that everybody gets all their ducks in a row. I think they already made some mistakes rolling out certain things in the past, and they cannot afford to have this be an issue. So I'm glad they took the time to do what they needed to do to make sure this rollout was as flawless as possible. Because as you can see, even with rolling out Jean Grey, we had issues, you know. So I think they had to make sure this was done right. And if they didn't, I think a lot of people would have been upset. Some people probably left. So I think I'm okay with the delay as long as, you know, it had to happen because they wanted to make sure it was perfect.
I agree. I think maybe, yeah. You know, you can't control things that, you know, things happen and you can't quality control everything. So obviously they're taking the time to try and do some last minute fixes. Maybe they're trying to fix Jean Grey being broken at the moment. So maybe that's the reason for the delay. But it is unfortunate that the delay happens when Spotlight Caches are supposed to come out and people were waiting for them to open Jean Grey. So that's the you know, most unfortunate bit. And I think, you know, some people are going to be unhappy about that. But I'd rather they take their time and fix the things that need to be fixed rather than just rush and release a broken patch.
So I just wish this stopped happening for the things people are most excited about. Like, I get that we're going to have technical issues, but why couldn't Snowguard be broken? Right? Like if Snowguard's broken, no one cares, but it's Kitty Pride. It's High Evolutionary's release. It's, and the Conquest one wasn't their fault, but it's Conquest. It's this. And like, it just feels like every time the community gets really excited for something, this happens. And I feel like the feeling around the game is more negative than it should be based on the quality of the game, based on, because disappointment is worse than just things being bad in many ways. And they've gotten really good at disappointment.
I think it's just unfortunate timing. Unfortunate timing because the devs were actually on holiday for a week before the patch. So maybe they just, you know, didn't have time to fix the things that needed to be fixed. And it's just bad scheduling. Maybe they should have scheduled the, you know, yearly annual summer time off, not right before one of the most important patches of the year.
Or just announce before the break that you're going to, like, you know, the patch is scheduled for the week they return. But in order to make sure everything's ready, like before break, they're going to wait an extra week. So it'll be the whatever next week is, the 19th, right? Or the 18th, whatever. Like, right? Instead of, like, as soon as we get back, patch, like, just announce before break, hey, we know it'll be a week late. Y'all have plenty of notice. Have fun.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, again, too many things have happened and too many things are happening. I think they want to make sure to play it safe and they're going to, you know, take their time and say the right things when they need to say it. So I totally understand what you're saying, though. Disappointment is a big problem, and a lot of big things have definitely, the ball have dropped, but they've also, you know, made sure it made up for those things too, right? I just opened up my app the other day, and I got a bunch of gifts in there. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know I'm getting 3,000 tokens for this. And I was focused on, I didn't even know that. Like, I completely forgot. So, you know, how quick the disappointment stays in our mind to the point where when we get our gifts a month or weeks later, we're like, oh, I completely forgot about that. You know?
All right. Well, since we're talking about disappointment being toxic, let's talk about what we're most excited for. So what are we most excited for in the post-patch environment?
Ken?
Ken?
Oh, okay. So
I was about to say it too.
I'm most excited. Yeah, I'm most excited to definitely see Luke Barrett. That's my biggest thing right now, because, of course, having all the cards. I'm also excited for, you know, I know they had a roadmap of, like, the PC standardized screen version. I'm excited for that, too. I'm excited for more cards, new cards that come out to kind of, you know, change the meta, keep the meta as healthy as possible. Those are the biggest things I'm more excited to see post-patch.
I'm most excited to be excited to open boxes again. You know what I mean? I haven't been excited to open collector's reserves ever since I finished my Series 4 collection because, you know, it's just, there's nothing to look forward to. Like, what can I get most? A pixel variant? Or, okay, maybe a nice variant or 600 tokens. That's it. I don't expect to open the card at all because the chances are so low. But with spotlight caches, you know, I'm actually excited to open them and see if I can get the cards or like these really cool variants. I'm also a sucker for variants, actually. But, you know, I don't have that many. I only really buy variants for the cards I really like and play. But I think that's what I'm most excited about.
I'm excited to play the game. I don't know what happened with the Climb to Infinite, but it was very bot filled for many. Not everyone apparently, but for many. So like I hit Infinite real fast again. And I'm excited to just like play and screw around and like play a bunch of Conquest and not like I really, really, really love this game when it doesn't feel like a grind. And I feel like right now a lot of the game doesn't feel like a grind, and I like that.
Do you feel like it's become too easy to get to Infinite?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we can't say that because I'm not. I've been 93 for the past week. I went 93 the first night with Phoenix Force, and I couldn't. I go 93, then 91, then 89, then 95, then 90. And it's my fault, yes, of course, because I want to play and do all types of madness, especially on stream. I get that, but. It's not, I mean, it is easier than it's been in the past. I totally agree. But it's not.
That's fair. I actually had this conversation on the Snap Zone Discord a couple of days ago. I don't think it's easy. I don't think that's fair to say. I think for people who've optimized the game, giving them any amount of bots is like almost cheating, right? Like, as soon as I recognize that that's a bot, I'm like, oh, I'm up a level. And like, I think that is unfortunate. I think that it's not the system, it's that they sort of, I think they've gone a little overboard with how many bots we're playing in the system.
But don't you face any cheating bots?
Yes, but like, I can usually game them, right? Like, do you guys know Hasa?
No.
So, Hasa hit, literally just messaged me as I looked down. Hasa is a British player who hit like 250 regularly for a while, and I hang out on like 3 or 4 different streams, and he's one of the streams I watch most, and I just watched him farm cheating bots forever. So like I have a good feel for how to beat cheating bots and how to get them to do what I want them to do. You just can't play any like variant stuff. If you're playing like a high variance deck against a cheating bot, you're screwed, right? They know your variants better than you do. But if you're playing something like, I'm just, for example, like a mid-rangey Darkhawk deck, there's very little they can do to like cheat you.
They always win 50-50 at the end, though. If it's like, am I going to play in this lane or in this lane? They always know which lane you're going to play in.
So my logic is always, as long as I know what the deck is doing, here's my logic. Because anytime you're doing a 50-50, you're half doing a do they have it? And the opponent, whether it's a person or a bot, is 75, well, it's about 100%, but the opponent is 75% likely to have it based on the number of cards they see in the game. I'm not taking a 25% chance to win unless it is a true gamble, right? Like, unless it's, like, truly 50-50 where, like, I know they're playing this card for sure. If they play this card left, that I'll stay in for. But, like, if I'm going, do they have it 50-50 at all? That's a 75-25. That's not a good gamble. I'm out.
Interesting. I do feel like some decks are a lot better at farming bots than others. So, like, Patriot was really good for farming bots. Darkhawk decks are really good farming bots, and
Hela too.
Hela as well. Dracula also. Never even count Dracula as having power, and same with Mysterio. I think they always think all the Mysterio lanes are zero, and apparently they can't see behind Invisible Woman. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, that I didn't know. That is cool. I love it. Like. Holy shit, thank you for giving Invisible Woman +1 strength so we realized how good she is. Because the strength does not matter, but she is great.
She might be the best card this meta.
Yeah.
I see her in so many decks, and she was so underused before. And now I see her in so many new popular decks.
No doubt.
Just being able to hide like Killmonger behind her, or Shadow King, or, you know, Shang-Chi.
Just Taskmaster.
Amazing. Taskmaster, yeah, Taskmaster.
Yeah, that Dolly, that's crazy. Yeah.
Well, speaking of popular decks, what is the best deck after the update, and why is it bounced?
Well, I mean, you already answered the question. I feel like Bounce, yeah, Bounce definitely is going to be one of the most popular ones, especially because it can deal so well with Jean Grey as well. And so many, if you think about all the decks that can play around Jean Grey, and to end strong decks, you know, I think Bounce is probably the strongest one. But I don't know, it's really hard to predict, you know? I don't want to make the wrong call and then people will be like, oh, she's stupid. It's really hard to make the call on the meta.
We make wrong calls right. All the time.
Nobody's calling. Yeah.
Like,
podcast is called Snap Judgments, so like you're just supposed to make
also.
Yeah, so
and, like,
you know,
I don't
no
know
judgment.
How this has happened, but we've cultivated the most positive community like in the world. No one says I like this is not an invitation, listeners, viewers, but no one like gives a, like we get occasional constructive criticism, but we don't have trolls, we don't have negativity. Like it's really, really nice that we don't get that crap.
Oh, that must be really nice. I wonder what that's like. Well,
but we're way smaller than you, so.
Yes. There's a lot of structural factors that lead to that. But stepping aside, Ken, other sort of best decks that you could think of?
Besides Bounce, Hyevo.
After the patch.
I mean, Hyevo is still going to be, Hyevo is still a powerful card. But, I know for a fact if I say, okay, I'm going to play Hand Evo that Pulse gave me last season.
You'd be infinite now.
Go infinite. If I play that right now, I'll go to infinite right now. 100%. I just like to play with the new season cards all the time to try to get there. So I think definitely High Evo is still powerful, even with these two changes to Hulk and Wasp. Yeah, like you said, Bounce, still one of the best cards, best decks to be played. And I think this card is the third one, I think, for sure. I think besides Ham, I know Ham stops a lot of Apocalypse and Dracula plays, but I think this card is still very surprising. And if you want to play stuff like Destruction, discard like Nimrod and everything else, I think that's pretty good.
Discard of the new Gambit might be really good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
I'm going Thanos. I think Thanos is great. Like, oh, I think no. Bounce and High Evolutionary are really good. You don't like Thanos? I love Thanos.
I hate Thanos.
Oh, we go on Lambie.
I don't like Lambie's version. Yeah. I think Lambie's version is like the fifth best version.
I just don't think Thanos is a very fair card. I feel like he has too much utility.
Yeah, agreed.
Here's all the utility cards you need in the game. There's move, there's, you know, drawing cards, and there's giving your opponent minus energy all in one card. Plus, you can add 11 other cards to your deck.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's really, really good against Bounce. Yeah. Like, it's got, like, four versions that are good against Bounce. It can do, like, lane lockdown stuff that Lockjaw can't answer. It can run Shang. It can handle, like, probably better than anything Jean Grey bullshit. Like, I just think it's going to be really well positioned again. I hit Infinite with it, so obviously I'm biased. I fit Infinite with Thanos more than everything else. But, like, I just think that everything works really well in it right now.
I don't like Thanos myself. I feel like he is very difficult to play. You have to think really hard when you're playing him. You know, just too many decisions to make. And I don't want to think that hard sometimes.
I agree.
I mean, draw a bunch of cards and you'll be okay. Like, if you're like, I don't know what to do here, the answer is draw more cards and you'll figure it out. Like, draw more cards than play the next card. Huh, what do I play? This or that? Which one draws cards? That one.
But I feel like we've... Thanos, because the stones are so small, you can really easily fill your board and then you're kind of stuck. So the decisions you make early on in the game really matter later on. And I know, sometimes I'm playing this game because it's fast and easy. I don't want to be, you know, breaking my brain trying to figure out what the best way of playing it is.
Fair enough.
I mean, definitely, if you draw your Thanos deck in the wrong order, it can sometimes be very frustrating to play, where instead of the stones drawing you into your good cards, you draw your expensive good cards first, and then you draw your stones second. That's when you're like, why am I playing Thanos? Like, why did I do this to myself? So that's why I actually don't really super always enjoy playing Thanos. But what are we most excited about for what hasn't come out yet? I believe there's two more cards left, Echo, three. And why is my
Legion.
Brain forgetting what the...
Mirage as well?
There's three, okay.
Legion.
Oh, yeah, Legion, right?
And Mirage.
and Mirage, yep. Right? So which of these three X-Men adjacent characters, Phoenix adjacent characters, are we most interested in hitting up? I think we started with Nina with the last one. So Ken, which of the three remaining cards are you most excited about?
I think Mirage is going to be the best out of the next three cards. Even though I know Echo can stop Cosmo and stuff like that. And Legion, I think, is a great meme card. I definitely think that Mirage is going to be the best card of all three of them. Being able to kind of a lower version of White Queen, being able to take your opponent's lowest card and give it +2 in your hand, I think that's going to be phenomenal. So I definitely go with Mirage. And I'm excited for that card. I cannot wait for it to come out.
Mirage is actually interesting, yeah, because if we're talking Nina? About, you know, the popular deck being Bounce, if you play her on 5, it's, yep. you know, likely they might play their Iron Man if you're playing the most popular deck, you know, the one that Lamy made. They might play Iron Man on 5, and, you know, if you play Mirage on 5, you might uh-huh. actually get Kitty Pryde from your opponent's hand, which would be pretty nice.
And you got Quinjet, too? That'll be, like, yeah.
I think I'm most excited about Legion, just all the yes. meme stuff you can do with him. I think there's going to be some crazy interactions as long as he's not broken when he comes out, which we can't guarantee.
No, he's Snowguard. He'll be fine. He's bad, but meme-y. Those cards always work.
He's meme-y.
I am... The reason I'm happy I'm infinite is because Legion is coming. Because I'm going to play every stupid Legion deck I find for the rest of the season. I don't think I'm getting any Infinity tickets. I'm going to have to trust other people on what's good. All I'm going to do is play Legion. I don't even know if I'm playing Storm. I'm just going to play Legion and stuff. And like whatever comes, I'm going to figure out what the most stupid thing I can do is. And I'm going to do it for a month. And I'm going to have so much fun.
What do you think was the craziest location to get with Legion?
Oh, man.
That's Domain or Altar of Death?
So, like...
There's not
no, I want Morag, but, like, I want to put Gene in a location and then figure out how to get Legion into Morag, and then the game is over.
What about Bar Sinister?
Yeah, busted.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Bar with no name?
Oh, but then you lose the Legion lane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you lose everything. It's fine. I'm not winning games with this.
You lose everything. We'll win.
I mean, if it's the only card you play the entire game,
you're winning.
Then
there's then real stuff. I think.
Your opponent's like, "What is this person doing?" Quake.
I don't know what it is yet, and like, but I think Quake and Legion is going to be like legit. I think Quake and Jean Grey are also legit, but I think Quake and Legion are going to be. That was your video, right?
Oh, yeah, I did have Quake in one of my lockdown decks with Gene.
I think Quake, Gene, and Legion are going to be, like, nasty. I don't know how. Again, I don't know how any of this works. I'm just going to steal everything I see and smile.
All right. Bringing this generally towards the closing, what is your favorite thing about the game right now? Ken?
The community, yes. I think that's the best thing right now. I think everybody's very awesome. Everybody's amazing. They're willing to help everybody else out. Bigger creators are helping small creators. It's just, I think the community is phenomenal.
Literally right now.
Oh, that's true, right? Nina's here. She's helping us all out, so that's awesome.
Oh, stop it. So, oh, my God.
Yeah, definitely. And like the content, too, out of all the content created. Everybody's doing something different. You know, it's not just deck building and stuff like that. It's like Nina's funny videos with the games that she played, you know, yeah, like Cowan and his, you know, dictionary stuff, and other people like Dolly Rogers and his TikTok. Like, I think everybody, the whole community is just doing something different. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. That's my favorite thing right
now. Oh, Ken right here making me look bad. talking about the community. And I was going to say, oh, I'm really enjoying Conquest.
Listen,
it's really nice having Conquest because, you know, before you hit Infinite and you're like, oh, now what? What do I do with Marvel Snap? You kind of just lose like motivation to play a little bit. At least it was like that for me because there's no, you know, goals to hit anymore. But with Conquest, it's kind of like a proven grounds, kind of like a casual mode. You can try out different, you know, wacky decks without losing anything, literally. It's just free to play, and you always gain some tickets with it. But, you know, Gold, Infinite, Conquest, it just gives you another thing to aim for and just pushes you to play the game more. And I do like that, you know, the reward for finishing Infinity Conquest is nothing too amazing. It's just like Infinity Border on Avatar. So if people don't manage to do it, they don't feel too left out.
Right, go. I just lost what I was going to say while I listened.
I'm actually going to agree with Nina here. Like, Conquest, I think, is the best thing that's happened to Marvel Snap. I just really enjoy, like, the playing with life. Like, where snapping matters, right? In a way that, like, yeah, snapping helps your climb, but it's more fun that it helps your individual game, right? The games feel like more concrete experiences. Yes, the games are longer, but actually, frequently when I play Marvel Snap, I actually want to sit down and, like, have a play session versus, like, play at a time where I want to, like, come and go real quick. And so I really just enjoy the experience of Conquest. And it's, like, actually just sort of stopped me from laddering. Like, when I want to play Snap, I'm like, I'm going to play some Proving Ground games, get some tickets, play some silver. Like, that's what I'm much more interested in doing than I am in just, like, trying to just play random games. Maybe against a bot, maybe against a person. Like, I just really enjoying Conquest. I think it is the superior way to play Snap. At least for me. Again, your mileage may vary.
So I remembered what I was going to say. I'm very happy. Okay. So one of the things that bothers me that people believe is that things just get better without people working on them, that, like, progress is inevitable. I don't think that that's true or accurate, but I do think Marvel Snap is getting better all the time. And I think that's due to the hard work of an awful lot of people, from Second Dinner to content creators to the player base. I think that Snap is consistently getting better in fundamentally almost every way. There are obviously things I could pick at that I wish would get better faster that I don't think are really, like, up to where I want them to be. But I really love improvement. It makes it feel like the time investment going to this game is worthwhile and valued, and that the experience is going to keep improving. And that's important to me.
Definitely agree on that.
100%. All right, folks. Let's wind this one down with our final segment, which is Variant of the Week. All right. Our first variant here is... Do we know the artist for that one?
Archerm.
Over here on the left.
How do you not know? All of his variants, female variants, have the same exact face.
Yep.
That's true. But I'm looking at it through Griezen Glazer's... sort of screen, so it's, like, harder to specifically see the face.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Archerm definitely has the Greg Land problem of all of his faces look the same, among other things. So who picked Archerm here?
I did, of course.
All right. Is there anything specifically that you love about this variant?
The Phoenix, I think. The whole fire thing behind it, the whole Phoenix. Combination with Jean Grey and then the hair. The way that the orange matches in with the fire of the bird, like, you can't tell where your hair stops and the fire begins. It's phenomenal. I like the whole thing, like the color. I think it's just, and with the logo, the name, I think this with a nice gold border, I think that's all it needs. I don't think it needs to get a gold back or a gold border, maybe even some gold flare. Not even crackle. This is
perfect. Awesome. The second variant we have here is the Peach Momoko variant, which chosen by people with good taste, including myself. But Nina, I believe you picked this one as well. So, like, what do you like about this one?
I mean, Peach Momoko is probably one of my favorite artists in the game. I love her Mystique variant. I think I snapped that up so quickly. I just love, you know, her style of art. It looks so, I don't know, it's just so different. You can always tell when it's a Peach Momoko variant. And I like that the colors are not as bright as all the other variants. It's more like a bit understated, and I also really like the little characters on it. I think I can see, like, Captain Marvel, is it Captain America, and is that Magneto?
It is Magneto.
It's Magneto. Yeah,
and then, like, there's someone shoulder? Else, but I can't tell at all.
Who is that?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
but it's edgy, but also cute. You know.
Okay, I definitely agree with the edgy, also cute. But I also think it, like, strikes me as it, like, her pose captures something about Jean. I think that like it feels like this is like particularly I think like Hickman era Jean Grey, like it does a good job of sort of like capturing like where the character is right now and sort of like an image in her specific style. So that's what I find kind of like compelling. So it's like cute, it's well drawn, but also I think it just captures the essence of the character where she is right now in the comics.
So I'm not a person who's usually big on nostalgia, but I really, really like comic book art as a rule, and this is a Jim Lee variant, so it's a variant from my youth. And one of the first comics I read as a kid was the Phoenix Saga and then the Dark Phoenix Saga, and it's always held a special place in my heart. I like the Phoenix costume better than the Dark Phoenix costume, but I really, really, really like the way that the composition works for this Jean Grey Dark Phoenix. I think it feels menacing. It feels like Dark Phoenix in a way that's great. And if this card is the bugaboo of the meta, then I want Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, this one looks scary.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with her. Whereas, our Jim variant, I'm like, I feel like we could be besties. We could go clubbing
together.
Hug her.
Yeah, give her a hug. Right?
She might get burnt.
That's fine.
Okay. I just want to
touch her. Not when she's good Phoenix.
Right.
I do think of the two Jim Lee variants, this is the best of the two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the other one that sort of has her classic 90s costume. It has like 90s Jim Lee face problems.
I hate that costume.
Okay. Well, we're not going to let Glazer just spew bad opinions out there by hating that costume. but anyway, I guess that's definitely the note that we should move on if Glazer's hating on the classic 90s Jean costume.
Fight.
All we do.
But, all right. So. Glazer, why don't you start with Nina. So Nina, remind our friends where they can find you, our loyal listeners, our loyal viewers, where can they find you, what your content's got going on, and sort of what you got coming up.
You can find my streams at twitch.tv/ninaisnoob. You can find my YouTube channel where I upload, Marvel Snap content, a lot of collaborations with other creators. It's also ninaisnoob. And I'm on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram, everywhere, on Threads. It's all just Nina's Noob. It's pretty easy. I feel like whenever I try to, new social media comes out, I'm like, oh, I better stamp up my name before anyone takes it. But nobody wants to call themselves a noob. So my name is always just available.
Oh, all right. My sales pitch. Sorry. You get to sit through compliments now. So you need to be following Nina, and I know you're following Nina. I'm not that naive. However, every episode we're like, oh man, I don't follow any Snap content creators. I just found Marvel Snap Zone. So if that's you, go follow Nina. This is a game and it's meant to be fun. And Nina has more fun than anyone else in this game all the time, whether it's the games. The sad part about her not wailing anymore is when she would open like 60 caches and you get to like watch her reactions and she like would exaggerate it. And it was always a blast. I've said it before. I'm going to say it constantly. She is one of the two most charming people in this game and one of the single most charming people I've ever virtually met. You need to follow her. And like, if that's not enough, she's also like, and it's obnoxious because like, this is where it bothers me. Cause like, not only like, can I not compete on that lens? She's phenomenal at the game. It's like, annoying.
Stop
she's
it.
Really,
my head is
really...
getting bigger and bigger. It's not going to fit in the camera anymore.
Well, it's fine. But it's 100% true. I do my very best to say only things in good faith that I believe are true. And I believe every single thing I said, you need to be following her.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. I think my head is so big, I'm turning into a chibi variant.
Oh, nice.
You know what? They should make a variant of the game. You should definitely do that.
Oh my God, yeah.
I got to meet in real life at the Creator Clash in New York, where we hung out. It was fun. Nina's an amazing person to meet in person as well as virtual. So definitely guys, follow her.
Thanks, Ken. That's really
sweet. Definitely everyone should definitely go follow Nina. Her content is fantastic. And Super Tech God, Ken, where can folks find your content? What kind of content are you producing? You got anything big coming up? Let our loyal listeners and loyal viewers know.
Yeah, so you can see me on Twitch at SuperTechGod. You can catch me on Twitter at SuperTechGod. Like Nina, my name is kind of always available. But as far as YouTube goes, I want to make sure I did STG Marvel Snap. So you can meet me there as well. And just continue making content, talking to everybody in the community, trying to, bring people on different shows and streams and have a good time. That's my goal currently that I have up and coming for Marvel Snap.
My turn.
And I also want to say that I met Ken in New York at Creator Clash, and he's the kindest, sweetest, and just most generous person ever.
Wow.
No doubt.
He bought everyone drinks.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Come on, I have to. You guys came to New York where I live. I'm thinking everybody. Whatever you guys need. It was fun. It was great.
It was so much fun.
Too short. Yeah, I wish I could hang out
more. Yeah, I wish you came to karaoke. That was so much fun.
You went to karaoke?
We went to karaoke.
You see this mic? It's not an accident.
I just had a newborn, so it was like, I had to go.
Congrats.
Thank you. I had to go and be there. So I was like, oh, man. But she was like, no, you can go to karaoke. I'm like, yeah, I know what that you can go means. So it's like, it's all right. We had to go. I'll do it next time. So definitely going to hang out with you guys next
time. I'm crashing because I'm nowhere near big enough to be invited to this. I'm just going to show up to the after party. Like, all right, let's do it. Okay. Straight up, STG is my favorite streamer. Period. Like, bar none, that, like, there is no one whose stream I enjoy hanging out in more in all of Marvel Snap. Whenever I go, and I do this in a lot of people I know streams, Nina, get ready. I do this in a lot of people I know streams. I go and I forget that, like, I'm in a stream and not just talking to one of my friends, and I just sort of talk, right? Like, I just sort of, like, have a conversation. And talking to Ken, and you'll do this in his stream because you're going to follow him on Twitch. You always feel seen. Like, everyone feels seen. Everyone feels special. Everyone feels like they belong. It's the warmest stream I've ever been in, like, by a lot. It's my single favorite stream. I cannot recommend it enough. Check the YouTube. Check everything else. All the content's good. This is the world champion of the World Snap Federation you're looking at, listening to, etc. But, like, that stream is a special place, and you got to check it out.
That's why I don't go infinite, because I'm busy talking to chat, guys.
There are worse reasons. You can just be bad at the game like I am. So there you go. All right. Well, make sure you follow SuperTechGod/SuperTechDad over there. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Nina, I want to thank you again for joining us.
Happy to be here. I had a lot of fun.
Awesome. Ken, thank you so much for joining us.
Definitely a blast. Thank you guys for having me.
Folks, make sure you go and follow them, but also make sure you follow us on social media, including our Twitter, which is at SnapJudgeCast. Join the Marvel Snap Discord where you can talk to us. Email us at snapjudgmentspodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us again on Mastodon at SnapJudgments with an E at tabletop.vip. And most importantly, our YouTube, which is at SnapJudgmentsPod. And that, friends, brings us to the end of this awesome episode, which was so much fun to record. Blazer, thank you for joining me every week, as always.
Peace and love, friends.
All right, loyal listeners, have a great rest of your week. Stay safe, make good choices, and keep on snapping.